Now, please listen for the word of the Lord as heard in the First Testament lesson in Genesis 50, verses 15 through 21. You can follow along in your pew Bibles. Realizing that their father was dead, Joseph's brothers said, "What if Joseph still bears a grudge against us and pays us back in full for all the wrong that we did to him?" So they approached Joseph, saying, "Your father gave this instruction before he died. Say to Joseph, I beg you, forgive the crime of your brothers and the wrong they did in harming you. Now, therefore, please forgive the crimes of the servants of the God of your father." Joseph wept when they spoke to him. Then his brothers also wept, fell down before him, and said, "We are here as your slaves." But Joseph said to them, "Do not be afraid. I am in the place of God. Even though you intended to do me harm, God intended it for good, in order to preserve a numerous people as he is doing today. So have no fear. I myself will provide for you and your little ones." In this way, he reassured them, speaking kindly to them. The word of the Lord.
This sermon this morning ends our series on the genesis of our faith. Next Sunday, we kick off a new series based on readings out of the book of Exodus, and it's called Thy Will Be Done. It's about how do we wrap our heads around what it means to do the will of God. What does that look like? So we'll pick up there or begin next week. This morning, I'm reading out of the 8th chapter of Paul's great letter to the church at Rome, and many people consider this chapter to be one of the most foundational for all of Christianity. And so I invite you to go read with me, starting in verse 18. "I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory about to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the children of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not of its own will, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and will obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly while we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. For in hope we were saved. Now, hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what's seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we don't know how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. We know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn within a large family. And those whom he predestined, he also called, and those whom he called, he also justified, and those whom he justified, he also glorified." The word of the Lord. So how many of you all remember where you were 20 years ago this coming Saturday? I can tell you exactly where I was when I watched on television the Twin Towers come down. And one of the most fascinating things to me about that day, 9/11 and the days afterward, was that we as a nation came together. We were one people united in one common cause. It was as if in that day and the days that followed, there was nothing that could separate us. We were one people. But 20 years has gone by, and we are definitely not one people. We are a nation divided. And I wish I could say we were divided only over one or two things, but as I began to sort of make a list this week and think about the ways we are divided, the list just kept getting longer. And so I want to just give you a brief overview in a moment about the ways that we as a people, as citizens of the United States, are divided. We're divided over masks. We're divided over vaccines. We're divided over abortion. We're divided over the need for racial reconciliation. We're divided over whether or not even to teach about slavery or race in our public schools. We're divided about climate change. Is it real? Do humans participate in it? We're still divided over who actually won the election, the presidential election in 2020. We're divided over the withdrawal from Afghanistan. Who's to blame? We're divided in many states over Medicaid expansion. Should we expand it and include everyone in our healthcare system? We're divided over whether or not to welcome Afghan refugees into our communities and into our nation. We're divided over voting rights. We are divided over whether COVID-19 is real. Yes, there is still an ongoing debate online about whether COVID-19 is actually real and a disease and a pandemic, and if it has killed anyone at all. We're just divided over almost everything. And I suppose you could just chalk it up to whatever, but the fact is that division has consequences. It creates fear. It creates hopelessness. It creates depression. Mental health providers have talked about a crisis in mental health because as everyone seems to be yelling at everyone else and everyone is angry at everyone else and people are feeling hopeless, that just people are struggling with how to keep their heads moving in the right direction. And so with all of that being said, the question for us as followers of Jesus Christ, the question for us as God followers, is how ought we to respond to all of this division? Should we just give up? Should we feel hopeless? Should we just be angry? And what I want to offer is that the Apostle Paul offers us a vision of how we are supposed to be, because the reality of the Roman church is that they were facing sufferings, persecutions. They saw their lives coming apart, and they had to figure this out. And so what I want to offer is that I think what Paul asks of us, the scripture asks of us, is that we become people of patient hope because God is working God's purpose out in the world. Let me say that again. I believe that Scripture calls us to be people of patient hope because God is still working God's purpose out in the world. Now, I realize what I want to do is I want us to unpack this statement this morning. We're going to begin at the end instead of at the beginning. We're going to begin with this idea that God is still working God's purpose out. Now, I did this at first service, and I got zero response. Any of you remember the hymn, God is Working His Purpose Out? Just me and my wife. Okay. All right. It's not in the hymnal, or I would have asked Andrew to play it this morning. So So the question is, what is God's purpose? And in a sense, that's the entire story that Paul tells in this book of Romans. Romans is not just, as I've said before, just sort of a theological treatise. It's the story. It's the story that begins with God creating a world that was good, that God said, this is not just good, but it's very good. It's a world of harmony. It's a world of justice. It is a world of compassion. It is a world where people are not divided, but people are united. That's the kind of world that God created. And then we human beings made sure that that world didn't last all that long. That we're not the first ones who have divided people in the 21st century. But God decided that God wanted that world back. And so this whole story is about God's purpose of bringing that world back into being, of recreating creation. That's why God called Abraham and Sarah. That's why God, you know, had Isaac and then Jacob, and the story unfolds with prophets and priests and kings, and then ultimately in Jesus Christ, who really makes that new world a possibility, as we've talked about. And so you get this story that God's purpose is the recreation of creation. And you hear that in Paul's language. Listen again to these words. I consider that the suffering of this present time, sufferings, are not worth comparing with the glory about to be revealed to us. For the creation, not just people, the creation waits with eager longing. And that literally means standing on tiptoe. The creation standing on tiptoe, waiting to see all of us, the children of God, come fully into our own, to reclaim our place in this world. And that in that process, creation itself will be remade. Verse 21, that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and will obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. Paul says that God is at work bringing this recreation of creation about. And so that's the place where we're called to begin. By believing that God really is at work doing this kind of recreative work. And that one day God will bring it to completion. And so that forms the foundation of how we're to respond to all of this. So the second piece, though, is that we are to be people of patient hope. Paul talks about hope and patience. Now, I realize that to say be people of patient hope can be heard as people of passive wishing. Okay? Patient hope. Passive wishing. Well, let's look at hope. Hope, biblically speaking, is not wishing. Hope is the expectation of a better future based on past performance. Okay? Expectation of a better future based on past performance. A couple of years ago, Cindy and I decided to replace our driveway. It was in terrible shape. It looked like the Rocky Mountains. And so when we went looking for someone to do this work, we didn't just sort of randomly pick someone online. We looked at reviews. We went out and actually looked at driveways this company, you know, the companies had done. And so we found out about them. And so when we hired this company, we had hope, meaning expectation of a positive outcome in the future based on their past performance. That's what hope is. And what Paul says is that we can have hope because we have seen God working in the past. We can look into our own past. We can look into the past of Scripture. And we can see what God has done in the world. That it's God who called Abraham. It is God who saves Joseph. It is God who sent God's only Son into the world. We have hope because of God's past performance. Now, the second piece of that is it's to be patient hope. Now, patience here, again, people can see patience as sort of this passive waiting. That's not what patience is, again, biblically. Patience means that we don't give up when things don't happen according to our timetable. Patience is not giving up when things don't happen according to our timetable. This is where I have to say I really admire cancer researchers. Cancer researchers will spend years, decades, trying to find cures for particular types of cancer. That they don't become impatient and say, well, listen, it's Tuesday, and if I don't discover a cure by next Thursday, I'm going to quit seeking a cure for cancer. Patience is that willingness to stick with it even when the end isn't in sight, even when your timetable is not being met. And that's the thing that Paul talks about, is that we are to be people of patient hope. We have these hopeful expectations of what God is doing. And along the way, we are to continue to be those who strive to live according to the will of God, who strive to be part of God's recreative purposes, even when our timetable, which may be tomorrow, when we want God to act, doesn't happen. That maybe even when we spend a lifetime working for God, doing what we believe we are called to do, that we don't give up. We don't give in. And if you want to see how all of this works together, all we have to do is look at the Joseph story that we heard part of this morning. So just real quick recap of Joseph. Joseph is part of he has 11 brothers, and he is daddy's favorite. His daddy makes him a special coat. His brothers are jealous of him. And not only that, but God gives Joseph visions and dreams. And these dreams are of somehow Joseph being part of God's work in the future. That maybe Joseph is going to be someone who does something great for God's recreative purposes. Well, he makes the mistake of telling all his older brothers about these dreams, and they imply that all of his older brothers will bow down to him, and, well, at first they're going to kill him. But then they decide, well, no, let's not kill him, let's make some money off of him, and so they sell him into slavery. And so here's this kid who has these visions of doing something great for God's recreative purposes, and he's been sold into slavery, and he becomes a servant in someone's house, and things are going a little better, and then he gets lied about and gets put into prison, and so things go from bad to worse. But the thing about Joseph, through all of this, through all of these misadventures, he doesn't give up. He has patient hope. He has seen what God has done for his family in the past, and because of that, he believes God will still do something great for him in the future. And he doesn't whine, and he doesn't complain, and he doesn't set timetables for God. He simply keeps on each day doing what he believes God would have him to do. And then, finally, as you all know the story, he becomes the number one right-hand man of Pharaoh, and he saves the Egyptians, he saves his family by setting aside grain for a famine that's coming. And his brothers come to him, and they reunite, their father dies, and the brothers are petrified that Joseph is going to enslave them or execute them because of what they've done to him. And then Joseph offers one of the greatest lines in all of Scripture. Do not be afraid, am I in the place of God? Even though you intended to do harm to me, God intended it for good, in order to preserve a numerous people, as he is doing today. Joseph's patient hope paid the dividends of saving God's family, and through that act, helping to save God's purpose for the future. And so the challenge for us, when we live in a world in which it seems like everyone is yelling at everybody else and everybody's angry about stuff and everybody is divided, is to ask ourselves, how am I being a person of patient hope, trusting that God is still working God's purposes out in this world, and that I can be a part of that work? And so that's what I challenge you to do this week, is simply to ask yourself, how am I being a person of patient hope, trusting in God in every moment of every day? Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks that you are at work in the world, that you are at work changing and transforming and empowering. Help us to be your co-workers, never failing, never complaining, always stepping forth as people of patient hope. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.